Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
We are confronted daily with attacks on the structure of the family. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim encourage parents and children alike to be aware of the fight for your family. Now here's Gloria.
Hello everybody, I'm Gloria Copeland and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is back with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks and she's got a message for all parents that we all need to hear. So call people, call your children, call your grandchildren.
Amen.
Mother and dads, and tell them to be listening about how to protect your children in these days. So Billy,
right, Gloria,
we need this. This is
absolutely. And you know, Gloria, you and I are grandmothers.
Yes, we are.
And you don't stop loving that next generation.
No.
You know, I mean, they're just as dear to you as
That's
your children.
Right. That's exactly
and
right.
You and grandparents, you have time to pray. You sometimes
yes,
know more
that's
even
right.
than the parents might know. And you can enter into this. Yesterday, we introduced you to Gabe Stewart. And I'll probably ask him to put up another picture or so of him so you can see this very beautiful young man. He was into my family by adoption. It's quite a story. His wonderful parents, adoptive parents, raised him to knowing God and went to a Christian school, but then something happened. I don't know what. He joined a fraternity. I know. And he was one of those persons that alcohol just, he became addicted to it. And then someone just in August of 2016, August 29th, came by his apartment and brought a drug that with alcohol, you can't mix it. And it claimed his life. It was not a suicide. And so we went yesterday into his life. You can go to kcm.org, O-R-G, and you can watch yesterday over. You can go to the Roku channel. We wish you would watch the whole thing.
Parents need to watch.
Parents, grandparents, mm-hmm. you need to watch it. Even get your kids to watch it.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And yeah, right. It's a sobering thing. And we shared about his life. His parents have allowed this. And we're taking out to save this generation. As I look down there at his fraternity brothers sitting there for about four wide rows, so handsome young men, you know, and I thought, oh my goodness, all the potential that's in them. And I think Gabe was already the third one, you know, who had from his associates and things that had that Satan had killed him.
Third one to die.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, Satan, the thief comes to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And so it wasn't God that did it. His parents made that so strong at the funeral. It wasn't a suicide. It was an accident that anybody could have happened to them if you're running the risks.
Yeah, yeah.
That it happens. And Satan is the one behind it.
If you're in that lifestyle.
He is the one that is absolutely after this generation. And his parents, Bill and Cindy Stewart, and me and Gloria and all of us, all of this crew right here, we had a great prayer this morning. We're taken out after the devil and to bind him from this generation. Bless the Lord with
Amen.
Our God-given authority.
Yeah.
Now we're titling this "Saving This Generation," the millennials, whatever you want to call them. And we're going to have 2 weeks. You have graciously let me come here 2 weeks, Gloria. And so we're going to talk about saving this generation the first week through knowledge of the authority of the believer and how to do it. And the second week, we're going to be talking about saving this generation through a demonstration of the power of God. They have to see God in our churches. They've got to see God in our lives. It cannot be just some kind of a game we play. And it's got to be real because they spot the false, young people do. And they're looking for power. If they don't see power, the devil is going to make sure they do
yeah.
somewhere mm-hmm. in some kind of an occult deal, some kind of a drug high, whatever. And so we've got the responsibility of showing them the power of God. Now, we're going to base this...
But we also have the authority.
Absolutely, we've got it.
Our children's lives.
You have it.
To stop the devil. Now, they'll have to cooperate at some place, but you can break the power of the devil over them and keep it broken. And don't think my child would never do that. You don't know what they do. You just keep the power of the devil broken and believe God. And even if they get into trouble, you stay with them and believe for their deliverance.
Well, Jesus, I'm thinking about John, your own son.
Yes, I'm thinking about that too.
Who is now, what's his position here?
He is head of the ministry, essentially,
the ministry, yes.
Other than us.
But now, it didn't look like when he was a teenager, he was a candidate to be the head, did it?
No, it didn't.
I know you told me one time John was great at turning things over.
Like cars.
Automobiles. Pickup trucks.
That's right.
And such things.
And God kept his hand on him.
Praise Gloria,
God,
do you remember?
Until he grew up.
Yeah. And he told you to pray for John every day.
Yeah, he did.
In tongues.
That's exactly what I did. Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
And you prayed every single day. I think you prayed an hour.
I don't remember if I prayed a whole hour about John or not, but I prayed for him in the spirit every day.
Every single day.
Broke the power
day.
Of the devil, kept the power of the devil broken over him.
Now see...
Believe God for his deliverance.
He could have well have not made it. The enemy, enemy
sure
could have killed him in
devil.
One of those car wrecks.
Yeah.
But why could he not? Because you were standing there.
We were...
Ken in the gap, in authority.
You and,
of course,
God.
Brother Ken
yeah,
as well.
That's right.
So if you know, I don't care where your kids are.
That's right.
I don't care in how deep of a hole they're in. You're going to hear about my granddaughter, Kylie, when we talk about the products we're offering. It does not matter. I know two people that went to hell, and their Brother Hagin, he was at the door of hell, and his mother prayed him out of there. Another man was that I knew very well. Thomas Welch. He was at the gates of hell. And he was dead at the bottom of a mill pond, and he wasn't born again for 45 minutes. His body was dead. And his a lady that went, and she was just a new Christian, but she happened to have for her pastor, John G. Lake. Now, there's a good pastor to have.
So she knew some things.
And so she, she lived up on the hill. And she heard that sound that lets her know, you know, that somebody's died.
Right, yeah.
She runs down the hill. They tell her it's him, and he's in the bottom of that pond. And she gets down on her hands and knees, and she said, "I won't let him go. I won't let him go. He doesn't know the Lord. I'm not going to let him go." They pulled him up out of there after 45 minutes. And he was dead. And then he came back to life and accepted Jesus and served him all of his days.
Praise God.
So you do not give up on them.
No.
Say, wash my hands of them. I kicked them out of my house. I disown them. No, you don't do that.
That's right.
You tell the devil you own them, and he doesn't.
That's right.
You and God, bless the Lord.
Those are good words.
Hallelujah, bless the Lord.
Praise
so just
God.
Look at John where he is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, your whole ministry is really
That's
kind
right.
of in his hands in a way.
That's
God's
right.
trusted him. You've trusted him with it. So bless the Lord.
Don't ever give up.
You never give up. Now, we're going to base our teaching this week and next week on the two Greek words. There are probably about five words, Greek words, that are translated power in the New Testament. But we're going to talk about two of them. And we've got our definitions from the Companion Bible in appendix number 172. And here are the meanings. One of those words is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And according to Bullinger, who did the notes for the Companion Bible, this means inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English word dynamics and dynamo and even dynamite. But it's not like dynamite just in one stick. It's like atomic action,
explosive.
You know.
Explosive.
Yeah, one...
Power.
Yeah, one explodes another. Until it's all around the earth. That's dunamis. It's miraculous power. Strong says it's a miracle power. And then the other word that we're going to look at, which is translated power in the New Testament, is exousia. And exousia means authority or delegated power. The liberty and right to put forth power. And one of its definitions by Strong is jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. You have authority in a life, in your children's life. You
That's right.
have jurisdiction in the lives.
And you have this kind of power.
Yeah. It's given to you when you
That's
got born
right.
again.
That's right. Praise God.
Now, both of these words are used in Luke 10, 17 and 18 and 19. Actually, it's Luke 10, 19, but we're going to read the other verses. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions
Praise God.
And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, both words power, they're two different Greek words. I'm going to read it again and use the Greek word. Jesus said, Behold, I give you exousia, authority.
Mm-hmm.
I give you authority to tread on serpents and
Thank
scorpions
Jesus.
And over all the dunamis of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Exousia and dunamis. A good way to explain the difference in these, and I read it in Brother Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority, for the first time, Kenneth E. Hagin. Just imagine a traffic policeman and say the light has gone out at the corner. It's not working, the warning light, the red, green, and yellow. And so he's got to direct the traffic and say it's New York City and say it might even be a little woman cop who doesn't weigh but 110 pounds. Well, she does not have the dunamis to stop a semi-truck and let the other row pass. But she has the authority.
Yeah, that's a good
She has a badge of authority, and that truck has got to stop because she's got power behind
that's
her.
Right.
And the power she has behind her is the governing power, the city of, let's say, a city of New York, and it's NYPD, the New York Police Department.
There's something behind her.
There's something behind her.
Now, giving her power.
And there's someone behind us.
That's right.
And when we tell the devil what to do, it's not you and me, Gloria.
And we have the name of Jesus.
It's him. It's
right.
Jesus. It's
yes.
the blood. It's God that's behind us. We have the superior power. We have the superior dunamis and authority behind us, so we can lift up our hand and say, stop, in the name of
That's
Jesus.
Right. And it's looking at this note you have here. Behold, I give unto you power. That's one saying one thing, but when you say, I give unto you authority.
That's it. That's really what
it's big.
Said.
That's really big. We have that. It belongs to us. If it's in our scope, in our family, in our life, in our bodies, sphere.
Your sphere of
authority. We have power there. We don't have to let the devil come in and do things.
No. He'll try to deceive you,
Well,
Gloria.
He's a thief and a liar.
And he'll try to dishearten parents. There's nothing I can do. He's gone.
Don't ever listen
to me.
Don't give up and don't quit on it.
No. Because you have the authority, it might not look like it. And in lots of cases, it doesn't look like it. It's doing any good. But let me tell you right now, it is doing
it's
good.
It's got power behind it if yes. it's the name of Jesus.
I learned about this authority of the believer from Kenneth Hagin.
Well,
and you
did too. And you know what? It changed everything.
It changed everything.
You know what our worst problem was? We were poor. We needed help. We needed money.
And now let's go back to what Satan does. He came to steal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from you, he was stealing.
That's right. Yes.
He was robbing.
Right
you,
up to
blind.
The point where we learned better.
And you learned you had authority over
That's
him.
Right.
And you could tell him, get your hands off my finances.
And just the same way he tries to steal your children.
Oh, yeah.
And just the same way you say, no, you don't.
You don't get my children.
Those are my children.
Those are my children.
I break your power and I command you to get out of their lives in Jesus' name. And you don't quit. You don't hear a bad report and then say, well, I guess it didn't work. No.
No.
You fight for your family.
And he will get them.
That's right.
He will get them to you.
That's right. It's exactly right.
I learned, now here's Brother Hagin's book called The Believer's Authority. And I was the editor of publications, and in those days, you know how it is when you start out, Gloria, everybody has to do lots of jobs.
Yeah.
So I not only edited the books and got them into print, I had to order them from the printers. And I had to keep a track of how many we had sold and what edition this was, you know, if we made corrections. And this book, The Believer's Authority, outsold every other book. Some of them 6-1, some of them as many as 10-1, but it was by far and away.
Well, it was the answer.
It was the answer. And so I
don't
learned...
I have that one.
Well, this is kind of an old copy.
Is it still in print?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's still in print. My goodness, it's still selling like hotcakes. And I don't know if it might have a different cover right now. They change the covers every so often. But... The Believer's Authority, I learned it from Brother Hagin. Ken and Gloria learned it from Brother Hagin, and we used it on our kids. We have our children, you know, are around the same age. And we used it. We knew to use it.
Yeah,
we knew that
right.
It was an absolute necessity. We knew not to give it up.
That's right.
And then...
And we didn't really know too much, did we?
Well, we didn't know. I didn't know. You know how much I knew before? I've been born again 20 years before I found out I had a lick of authority.
Yeah.
I'd beg God things, you know, rather than know.
Help me.
Help me, Jesus. So, no kidding. 20 years.
We didn't know.
Because here's the thing now. Here's what Bill Stewart rather, he wants to get parents the knowledge that they've got authority.
Yes.
He says
yeah,
in his... circles. And he's in wide circles being in this business world. And he knows the parents of young people, they don't know they have authority. So he wants to get that over to them, and we're going to. And so Kenneth Hagin's a book here. I want to read you the foreword in his book. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin writes, back in the 1940s, I asked myself the question, do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I had had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I had stumbled upon it and had exercised it without knowing what I was doing. I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line of authority, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more and more light. Then an article in the Pentecostal Evangel prompted my study on the words power and authority. We talked about that, dunamis and exousia. Then I came across some wonderful pamphlets entitled The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan, mm-hmm. a missionary to China who later edited the Alliance Weekly. As a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized, authority that we are not using. Now listen to this, Gloria. This is his last paragraph. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority. But before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers who rise up with the authority that is theirs.
Praise God.
They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read you this today, and I might read it again tomorrow. I've got to look and see how much time I got left. I got time for it. I remember... Now, who do we have authority over? People? No. Who we got authority over?
The devil.
Devils. Demons. That's what Jesus said, do you know, in that scripture that we read in Luke. I gave you authority over the devil.
That's right.
Now, here's what Brother Hagin, with the idea that...
And what is he best known for? Lying.
Deceiving.
There's no truth
lying.
In him.
Lying. No truth in him. Now, here I read you just what Brother Hagin wrote in that book, that there's going to come a group of people that are going to learn how to use their authority. That would be us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really rising up to it now. Now, Brother Hagin prophesied this in the 80s. I remembered that he had made this prophecy, and I didn't know where it was. I grabbed a bunch of old cassettes that I had of his, and I just grabbed one out of it, and there it was. So here is that prophetic word. In this move that's about to come, and even you're on at the edge of it right now, it will not be altogether new or something that you have never seen. It will be a combination of everything that you have seen put together, and then plus a little bit more. In this move of God that is just about to spring upon you, there will be a manifestation of casting out demons that you haven't seen yet. Now, some have drawn back from casting out demons, and the Spirit of God said, I began to move along that line a few years ago, and men aborted the move. They mixed some of their own thinking in on it, and they tried to control and do it according to pattern and according to this way that we think it ought to be done. But you haven't seen anything yet of what you're going to see in dealing with demons. For demons are let loose upon the earth. They are going about as never before because they know their time is short. And so in this multiplication, this advance of demon activity, there will be an advance of the activity of the Holy Ghost. Demons that have harassed men, demons that have held ministries in check will leave. And you have not seen yet of what you will see in the area of dealing with demons, casting out demons, exercising authority over demons. We're about to step into it like you would step into a door into another room. And so what we're talking about this week, and we're aiming it toward, of course, this generation, saving this younger generation, but we're talking about everybody. A little lives of a baby that's about to be born and the devil's trying to kill it before it is born. Whatever. Yeah. We have the authority. You don't have to have shootings at your school. You don't have to have shootings in the mall. You can stop it if you will know how to use your authority, the authority of the believer. You don't have to have ISIS attack your town.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
That's what we're going to be talking about all this week.
Praise God. I'm telling you. Parents, you'll never learn anything more important than this about how to deal with darkness and devils.
Mm-hmm, darkness.
Because they come to attack your children.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just plead the blood of Jesus and say, no, you're not. In the name of Jesus, you don't touch my child.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work for you.
It'll work.
Now, this is very important in every area. About your own body, the devil
comes to
try to make your body sick. You don't just lie there and let him do it. You take authority over that cancer. You take authority over that sickness and tell it, you don't have any place in me. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my
diseases. Hallelujah.
By his stripes I was healed.
Yes, I was and I am.
Hallelujah. Don't miss any of these broadcasts, Billy, and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.